suggest that the entire 1% be removed from the sales tax.
The Haynesboro tries to figure out what to do with the 1% tax for tourism. And from the News Vault, 26 years ago, Dan Henry challenged a Guinness Book record holder for most talkative guy. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories after this news. Northern Lynn Canal projects will get a $25 million boost, according to the final budget released by the governor's office Wednesday. The final operating and capital budgets total $11.4 billion, including $6.9 billion in state general funds. That includes $60 million towards a new Alaska Marine Highway ferry. But Governor Sean Parnell prefaced his final budget introduction Wednesday afternoon by describing the federal government's poor financial condition, Alaska's declining oil production, and the state's various unfunded debts and escalating costs. Then he cut $412 million from the budget. But the Northern Lynn Canal appears to have only suffered one veto. That was the $122,000 slated for the Southeast Alaska State Fair's Harriet Hall renovations, a project that was cut from last year's budget, too. The budget was just released late Wednesday and shows $9,702,334 budgeted for Haynes projects, the biggest one being $4.5 million to Haynesboro Road Rehabilitation. $10,867,000 goes to Skagway projects, most of that to Skagway City dock improvements, but the library project also survived the veto pen as one of four library projects funded in the state. $4,809,079 is slated to go to the highway precinct, including Kluckwan. All of that totals $25,378,413 for the entire Northern Lynn Canal, including money to explore three hydroelectric projects and purchase one that the Chilkat Valley uses. At the same time, several hydro projects elsewhere in the state were nixed by the governor from the final budget. More on the state budget in future newscasts and online at the Office of the Governor's site or ours, khns.org. What do you think about the 1% tourism tax in Haynes? Because you might have to vote on it again. The Haynesboro Assembly initiated discussion Tuesday night on how to respond to citizen outcry against the tax that designates 1% of borough sales taxes to economic development and tourism. It was a popular topic during public comments at this week's assembly meeting, with residents speaking up for and against the tax. Then the assembly explored different hypothetical moves, such as proposing a ballot measure, giving tourism a set budget, and undedicating the tax, or watching citizens move a ballot initiative.
If we don't put it on the ballot, my impression that I last heard is that they were actually going to request that the entire 1% be removed from the sales tax. Maybe if we can.
Yes. Ballot?
Steve's correct. That is what I would do.
That was Assemblyman Steve Vick and concerned Haynes resident Sally McGuire. Although Borough Manager Mark Ernest indicated that designated taxes are rare in his experience, Assemblyman Rossman said he doesn't think voters would have approved the tax in the first place if it went into the general fund. The Tourism Department also described other methods of funding the Tourism Department, but supports the current system. The Assembly is far from making a decision on the issue and plans to continue discussing the 1% tax at the next meeting on July 12th. The Haynesboro Assembly met for their regular meeting on Tuesday, June 28th. Assemblyman Damon Hoffman was the only member absent from the meeting. He was in Juneau for the Tuesday morning birth of he and his wife Renee's new son. Whenever you drive back home to the Northern Lynn Canal from wherever you had to wander off to last, the crackly sound of the Soul radio station coming into Clarity can feel like a personal welcoming committee, because you're going home.
Going home, yes.
Wayne Price, creator of this year's art print for the KHNS annual membership drive, grew up in Haynes with five brothers and five sisters and began his Northwest Coast artist career at age 12.
Big family, yeah. Everybody knows us here. So, and I've bounced in and out of Haynes my whole life. I've always come back home.
But lately, a lot of his work has brought him to the Yukon Territory, which means he spends a lot of time on the road, driving in between Whitehorse and Haynes. And that's where this piece of artwork began.
It was a wonderful painting that I came up with when I was asked to do this project for the KHNS, and I've always supported KHNS. It's always nice to come down out of the hills when I'm coming back from Whitehorse and turn it on and hear the radio, hear the local people, and I'm coming home myself, so it's always nice to do that. I spend a lot of time up in Whitehorse, but it's always good to come back to the coast.
And the piece that was made exclusively for the contributors to the public radio station's annual fundraiser, Price explains, is about giving thanks for the treasures that are part of the unique lifestyle here.
I wanted to come up with something that is close to the Lynn Canal. I wanted everything to be represented, Skagway, Cluckwan, Haines, you know, the mountains, the water, and the sockeye return, salmon returning up this way, and how important that it is to all of us, and that just bring to light that this is something near and dear to all of us, that we should take care of it, be aware of it.
With distinctive red, black, and turquoise forming traditional Tlingit art shapes that have been part of the local culture for centuries, Price's painting tells a story.
And I wanted to represent the mouth of a river somehow, and that's how we came up with the green lips, the Chilkat green of the river water, and the two sockeyes with the eggs, and the mountains being represented by the two ovoids on top. And on the very top, we have Raven, which was in our ancestor, is our creator, put the sun, moon, stars in the sky. And there's also the 14 points of infinity. If you count, there's 14 of them all together coming to a point. And at some point, that's the where the salmon have come returning, going home, laid their eggs, and end their cycle, and go to Raven.
Particular elements within authentic pieces of Northwest Coast Native art describe, to a trained eye, exactly where the piece comes from, like the soft half-circle shapes that Price mentioned, called ovoids.
I would believe that the designs, shapes itself, came from the land that were all around. That it could come from the way you see the sun hitting on the mountains. It could be the way you see the ripples on the water will have that shape. And I know on the back of a halibut, it's pretty close to an ovoid shape. If you look at it really close, you'll see the rings on there, and they're not exactly round. And did it come from there? It may have, but I think the designs itself came from what was seen right around southeast Alaska.
The Tlingit style, which Price, being Tlingit, grew up with, is native to this part of the world. Its elements stand it apart from similar styles like Tsimshian and Haida art.
Tlingit style has real thick, bold form lines around the ovoids. It's really thick and heavy. The lip, the mouth of the river, is really thick, bold, and each of the split U forms, heavy, thick, and bold, and these elements are real Tlingit style. If you look at the old Tlingit style artwork, it's real full, and you learn this after a while, and you learn what elements that can make it into a story, and I do believe that it is a language that we have to learn it, you have to be around it, you have to be part of it, and it's also art, and that makes it and keeps me busy.
Price donated another one-of-a-kind art print for the radio station's Silver Anniversary Drive 6 years ago, called Healing Hands. Price also has the hands that have worked on 28 standing traditional totem poles throughout southeast Alaska and 8 dugout canoes.
All of them are either in the museum or else they're on the water being used, so, except for the one that's in my yard. Needs a little help. That was actually the first one, so.
The print Going Home is only available to people who become members of KHNS through the membership drive going on this week. People who contribute to this year's drive can also get a copy of the print's story as transcribed into calligraphy by Haines artist Carol Mitchell, who's been practicing and teaching calligraphy for several decades. You can see the art print at the radio station and on site at their remote broadcasts or at the website. It's available as part of a membership to KHNS offered this week. Up next is News from Your Past, a special feature running during membership drive. Here's one from 1985 with Haynes Dan Henry.
Victor Villamus is a talkative person. That doesn't mean much to people in Haynes and Skagway who are used to long chats by lantern light or drawn-out public meetings that seem to go on forever. What's so unusual about Victor Villamus, who's visiting Haynes this week, is that he at one time held the world's record for continuous, non-stop talking.
Well, I was in the Guinness Book of Records from approximately 1967 through 1974 for world's record in non-stop talking. That is, for 5 days, 18 hours, or as it's listed, 138 hours, I talked non-stop.
Victor Villamus explains that he talked his way to a world record as part of a Rag Week celebration in Leeds, England. Rag Week, Villamus says, is a time when universities can create crazy stunts for fundraising purposes. He was chosen to do the talking.
Someone decided that it was time to actually go for a world record, and since I'm one of these people who cannot stand silences in social circumstances, they thought I was the perfect candidate. After being convinced, I proceeded to go ahead and break the previous world record, which was 133 hours, by Kieran Sheehan of Limerick, Ireland, who could not be reached for comment after his record was broken.
As a reporter, I have particular interest in Victor Villamus's ability to talk forever. So I decided to challenge him to a debate.
The notion put before us is silence golden? And I'm going to argue against that fact simply because too much silence means no communications. Communications is vital in our world today, and if you have silence at various points when various people think that it might be golden, then it's only golden to them and to no one else.
But you see, this world is so filled with noise pollution, including radio disc jockeys, including all types of street vehicles, including even the power plants in a given municipality. We're talking about the need for people to have that peace and tranquility that used to be Alaska.
I think that's possibly one of the most crazy comments I've ever heard before, because there is no absolute silence around here. You're always hearing birds, you're hearing whales whooshing out in the water, you're hearing water and the wind and the eagles and other kinds of things going on. That's very nice, and certainly that's sound, but that's not silence.
And the debate goes on and on and on. In Haynes, this is Dan Henry.
With a little bit of wind or other sounds, and what the heck, the sound of the generator from the downtown, you can hear it 2 or 3 miles away, that's perfectly all right too.
That was News from Your Past, a special feature running only during the membership drive. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.